First, an assessment of the fiasco-ness of the difficulties said to be mounting over the Affordable Care Act rollout. Prospective consumers reportedly refreshing their browsers, hoping that their confidential health information makes it into the right hands. This enrollment may have problems, but it is the most comprehensive change to federal health care policy since President Johnson signed Medicare and Medicaid into law back in 1965. And there have been other social programs that have taken a while to get up and running. Can we compare this ACA situation to federal beta tests of yore? Joining us now is Helen Levy, Research Associate Professor at the Ford School of Public Policy at the University of Michigan and former senior economist to President Obama's Council of Economic Advisors. Helen Levy, welcome.
Thanks, John.
Is there any objective way to evaluate rollouts of this kind, independent of technology, that have involved different social classes, various kinds of enrollment documents, and specific requirements to determine whether people get subsidies or not? I'm thinking of the prescription drug program that was rolled out during the Bush administration. And then there are, of course, the huge rollouts of Medicare and Medicaid.
That's right. I think the experience with Medicare Part D, the prescription drug program that was rolled out in 2006, does provide a lot of useful comparisons to what's happening now. So then, as now, there were embarrassing technical glitches that happened with the website. And one thing that happened then was for the enrollees who were getting transitioned from Medicaid, the program for low-income people, into Medicare Part D plans, that handoff got bungled. And so a lot of them actually had interrupted access to their prescription drugs, which is a serious problem.
Now, there's something about the population there that would encourage them to stick with it. They know the drugs they need. They know that eventually they'll get help paying for them. And they know that medically they need to pay attention to this sort of thing. With healthy people having the same kinds of problems trying to get onto the exchanges for the Affordable Care Act, what is the worry that people just sort of give up and never go back?
Well, that's right. You've put your finger on, you know, exactly what the concern here is, which is basically that for the exchanges to work, we need healthy people to enroll. And you want to make, you know, the logistical hurdles that people have to go through as low as possible so that you don't get only the sick people who are really dedicated to getting insurance. And so what remains to be seen, I guess, is whether the people who were really intent on signing up right at the outset, who will have been put off by this, by the obstacles that the website has thrown before them unexpectedly in these first few weeks, whether those people were the people who are dedicated and whether the healthy people are still going to sign up once they get the kinks worked out because they were waiting anyway, we'll just have to wait and see.
And what would be the kind of emergency measures that would be brought in here? I suspect under Part D, the prescription drug program, there had to be additional outreach to make sure that people's hands were held during the process. In this particular case, could you subcontract out software that would get people where they are, young people in the Targets and the Starbuckses of the world, where they can, hey, sign up really easily, the way that you can get a flu shot almost by, you know, hopping in a taxi?
Yeah, that's a good question. I will say that in the case of Part D, they did have their own tech surge. They brought on thousands more people in their call center at the Medicare 1-800 number that they were relying on heavily. And the other thing that happened in Part D was the states, which after all had been running the Medicaid programs for those people who were having the problems, the states stepped up and said to the pharmacies and the insurers, look, we're going to cover this. Okay, so give these people their drugs. Now, it's not as obvious in this situation sort of who is poised to step up and do something about this. And I'm not a technology person, so I sort of don't know what technologically you can do to fix these problems. But certainly, you know, continuing to do the kind of outreach they've been doing to younger, healthy people would be an important part of it.
And if we remember back to these rollouts of the past, and you're very familiar with all of them, I mean, it seems to me the end of the story, however many difficulties there were in the beginning period, is pretty much the same, that the program gets up and running, the errors get worked out, the catastrophes get rectified on some level, and then the program becomes seen as absolutely essential. That was certainly the case with Part D, and do you expect that will be the case with the Affordable Care Act, or does it have unique problems that might derail it?
Well, I think that the risk with the exchanges is that you sort of, in the early years, if you drive away the healthy people, then instead of having sort of a functioning exchange where it's for everybody, you basically have a high risk pool. Now, the reason I'm optimistic that that's not going to happen, and that we will have a story like with Part D, because you're right when you say now everybody's like, well, this is really a great success, and people have mostly forgotten all these problems. The reason I think that we're going to have that same success with the exchanges is that the value of the subsidized coverage that people can get in the exchange, it's just too good a deal to turn it down because you couldn't get into the website the first time you went to register. So even if you're a young, relatively healthy person, there are generous subsidies to make insurance affordable for people. And I think that that's going to be what makes people get past these problems, do what they have to do. And I do think people will sign up. And the 5 years from now, we'll be saying, you know, just like with Part D, we're going to be saying there were some glitches at the rollout, but now it works and we all really like it.
So time and a certain word of mouth for people who really enjoy the coverage that they get is going to prevent the kind of Fox News catastrophes that we're hearing about every day.
I think that's right, but I think it may be a little while before we get there. So I would say let's wait 3 years and see how things are going then.
All right, 3 years. Helen Levy is Research Associate Professor at the Ford School of Public Policy at the University of Michigan, former Senior Economist to the President's Council of Economic Advisors. Helen, thanks so much.
Thank you, John.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.